Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Garden of Enlightenment with me, Wild Dove, Grey Eye Smith, Beamer of Dreams, and Frank, a.k.a. Poetic Picasso. Tonight's show is based on front page picks as well as open poetry. I don't believe there is a contest for tonight. All right, I'm going to grab the phone lines here. Hello, this is area code 585. Who's calling, please?
Good evening, Grey.
Monsieur Laurent, how are you?
Good, Greg. Good to hear you.
Absolutely. Thank you. All right, I'm going to grab the next caller here. Area code 707. Who's calling, please?
Irish Rose.
Hi, Irish Rose. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
Hey.
Hi, Laurent.
I'm good. Thank you.
Hey, Glenn. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Good to hear you.
And you.
Okay, so one more caller here. Here you go, 512. Is that you, Frank?
Yes, it's me. It's me. How's everyone tonight?
Good,
right.
Good. Thank
can
you.
Hear me?
Thank you for calling.
Hey.
Right. Yeah. There, my friend.
Yeah, we can. Nice and clear. Nice and clear. Thank you, Frank. All right. So I'm going to grab the first piece of poetry here. Here we go. All right. All right, so we have Cease the Noise by Neutron Bomb. If you wouldn't mind reading that for us, Glenn, that would be great, please. Oh, we lost Glenn. All right, I'll give this a read here. Cease the Noise by Neutron Bomb. Sever the cerebral cortex. That should cease the noise by rendering you a vegetable. Sweet potato, to be precise. With spindling limbs and root-like fingers. I can cut out your resprouted liver and harvest you like carte poulet de gras, bon appetit, or set you to pasture, keep you lean and age you for 120 days. Better fattening you with lard, unless you like your humans, wagyu, medium rare, marbled with fat and seasoned to perfection. End poem. And what did you think, Mark?
I love the imagery in this. In the first line, sever the cerebral cortex. It should cease the noise by rendering you a vegetable. Sweet potato to be precise. Spindling limbs and root-like fingers. It's great, great lyricism as far as I'm concerned. A definite tongue-in-cheek. I can cut out your resprouted liver and harvest you like pâté foie de gras. Bon appétit. Just really, really nice. Hysterically good.
Well, thank you, Lawrence. I much appreciate it. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Yes. I really did appreciate just the vivid imagery in this poem here. I know it had a bit of Hannibal Lecter theme to it, but I always come to appreciate Neutron Bomb's poetic vision. And this is what she gave us with this poem here. I like the title, Season Noise, because I almost felt, you know, throughout the poem, with the vivid nature of the poem, it just gave it an apropos title to a very, very fascinating writer that I was very much in tune with, just thinking about the imagery, the nature of the imagery of this poem. So she did a fantastic job there.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank. All right. I think we have Irish Rose back. Hello, is that you, Irish?
Yeah, with me. I've been dropped a couple times.
Before. Oh, no. Okay. Did you get a chance to hear the poem?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry. I was in Blog Talk Hill. I'll reread it, okay?
Okay, yeah, you bet. Lauren, please call back. I see you just dropped. Area code 703, who's calling, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. Miriam here. But
I didn't really get a good chance
to the poem. So another one, maybe.
Okay. You bet. Welcome back. I'm still waiting for you to return. I'm going to post the next poem here. And if you wouldn't mind giving us a read, please, Lauren, that would be wonderful. Sorry, here, 1 second.
Leave us late, perhaps.
Okay, Lauren, whenever you're ready. All right, he's gotten dropped. Mark, please call back. Frank, would you mind reading that, please?
Yes, this is called Relinquished. It's by Bardi Balderbat, I believe. And it goes like this. You do know songs, clouds, goes to grey, whispers, bound and treetops sway. This bitter cuff from heaven, emptiness is bliss. I can live without in a great unknown hereafter. Clouty deed and devil, brown breath, break hollow and must orange. We spill the blame, relinquished burdens, drunken, fallen rain, devilish fouled paper trails and feverish shuttles, chasing jasmine blue, river, sky, horse and cart, idle walks, talk and revels, selfless prayer, untouchable stars, and we, plain pilgrim, keen and mellow, relinquish words, our silent yoke, washing off to sea, untouched soul, no graver, lighter be, in a mortal world, love is our undoing, noble dance as once we were, moonscape glance, and follow. Cloudy river, sky and sea, give this longing, turns to grave, sweet wandering, meadows are after, relinquish brush and violets grow, green trees and apple fair, and you, my little fable share, no braver, brighter be, I miss your touch, your flame, and autumn rain, warmth of evening breeze, and breach of an unknown star, walking in a meadow there, where once the wind had blown in the bone.
Beautiful read, and that was a fantastic write. You know, he had such talent with his words. He paints his picture quite beautifully with his poetic brush, especially that first stanza. Undenial songs, clouds go oyster gray, whispers bound in treetops sway, this bitter cuss from heaven, emptiness and bliss, I can live without in great unknown hereafter. Just beautiful throughout. And sorry, what did you think, Miriam?
I just love the sound. I've been very distracted, so I hope I will be able to comment better a little later on. What do you call it?
Okay.
Technical issues distract me, but I mean, I could tell this is a really, really gorgeous poem, and I loved hearing it read. This sounds so beautiful.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. All right. Welcome to the show, Weaver.
Hello.
Hello there, Weaver.
Hi, Weaver.
Katie.
Hello, darling. I'm glad you can hear me. Good to be here.
Yeah. What did you think? What did you think of the poem by Bartlebach?
I'm sorry. I was so busy trying to get this thing set up that I didn't hear it. So could you ask someone else and get back to me later? Thank you. Not been a very good morning,
sure.
So far.
Okay, no problem. All right. Monsieur Laurent, what did you think?
I think this is one of the most intriguing poems I've read in some time. It's, I'm tempted to call it abstract, but it's not quite abstract. The Undine songs, and Undine is a water spirit, I think. Water spirit songs, clouds go oyster gray, whispers bound in treetops sway, this bitter cusp from heaven, emptiness is bliss I can live without, the great unknown hereafter. It's almost, to me, a poem about life and a relationship, the things that were done, and does a fantastic job of his metaphors. But, you know, he does wind it up, and you, my lily fable, share no braver, brighter be. In other words, there's no better existence. I miss your touch, your flame in autumn rain. This is someone that he doesn't have anymore, I think. But my God, the imagery, the rhymes when they occur, and the metaphor is a formidable piece.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Lauren. And Irish Rose, welcome back. What did you think?
I'm sorry. I can't comment on this. To do it justice, because I've been dropped it so many times, I have to reread it so I can form my thoughts, okay?
Thank you. So just if the phone drops you, please, please keep calling back. You know, because it's not us dropping you, because you know we love you.
Oh, no, I know that.
We will not drop you.
I know that. I'm very aware. That's cool.
I guess they're still working out the kinks from everything. Thank you, Gray, for, you know, doing that, you know, hanging in there for me and everybody. Weaver, are you on?
I certainly am.
Yes, she is.
Okay, Missy. So since Gray has been putting it, you know, taking over for us. We will now give him a rest, and we will take over. And the last poem he put in was Bartlebach, and he did Neutron Bomb. I don't know if Irish Rose got to read yet. Gray, did Irish Rose get to read yet?
No, she hasn't. But the next poem is Collab. It's a composite scene in the tableau of your life.
We can skip
Did you put that? Okay, well, no, you have two poems.
Yeah.
So I, well, you were second from the top. So,
okay.
And we'll get you on the next one. That way we don't mix up Katie.
Yeah, we did that.
Because we like to go down the way.
We did Neutron Bomb already.
No. I'm talking about Irish Rose. She wasn't read yet.
Yeah, no reason to say it because we were posted it on the board, and I just wanted to make sure.
Okay,
All
righty. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I think we're going to have to. I'm sorry about this, folks. I wouldn't normally be late, but there was no invitation, so I kind of got a bit lost. So would you like me to go on with Collapse, and then we'll go on?
Well, if it's already posted, yes, go ahead. Gwen's is almost to the top, the second one from the bottom. So if you could put that up after Collapse, please, Miss Katie.
Of course.
So that we don't miss anybody.
Yeah.
Thank
you. I was going to do that, but I thought she maybe needed a few minutes to get herself together. So everything's fine. We're great. So
all
now
righty.
We have we're great. You're great. I'm a mess. Oh my God.
No, you're doing right. You're doing good.
Oh, thank you. So sweet. You're so sweet. Okay. Deep breath and we can get this started on my side of it anyway. So a composite scene in the tableau of your life by Collapse. Now, Miriam, do you feel like reading this one?
Sure. I think I can do that. We'll see.
Thank you. If you can't, just let me know. No problem.
Here. A composite scene in the tableau of your life. Secrets slide into the nook of stairs, hooked into the mesh of dreams. The twinkle of a heart, of a soul, they bleed. A vestige teal we hold, cherish, tucked in the folds of an origami portfolio of memories. As we conjugate, debate with what we've been given, from the debris of our respective and collective past, we juggle, tool with objects of desire, stitch, fix its consequences. We improvise, make do with the conditionals of the what-ifs and would-haves, could-haves, should-haves. We will, in our youth, iron cast gleams, molding a vision panoramic in dimension, which will be layered by a patina malleable with time, likely will bend and soften to the callous touch of old and fumbling hands. After hurtling through the gauntlet of setbacks and failures, while glimpsing hibiscus sunsets, sipping at her nectar, and gazing at countless moons, we turn all of these into that cracked egg texture of a canvas, which we, the painter, in a masterly pose, we are poised in the brush, dripping liquid colors, bright hues, earth tones, begin to people the scene with a character or two, just to make the landscape less desolate. Then we slash the empty space with dashes, blotches, and splashes, delineate cubes, firm lines, vertical, perpendicular, make them intersect, merge into that endless horizon of eternity. We leave some space to breathe the necessary solitude of construction, to appreciate the occasional carmine and orange dots of joy and happiness. We will have made up a composite story, one navigating between darkness and light in this chiaroscuro tableau of our life, bathed in Gregorian and Buddhist chants.
That was a beautiful read, Miriam. I enjoyed hearing you read Colette's poem. Congratulations on her front page pick as well as the gold medal. And since there's three of us, six of us tonight, we're going to take turns commenting, and I'm going to start with Laurent. What did you think of Colette's poem?
I like it a great deal. To me, it's a little abstract right off the bat. But as I read more and more and more, for instance, as we conjugate debate with what we've been given from the debris of our respective and collective pasts, kind of a joining together of what's left after between two people, for instance, after time has passed, we juggle two of the objects of desire, which fix its consequences. That speaks to me about, you know, relationships. We improvise, make do with the conditionals, the what ifs and what has, should haves. And by the time I came to the end of the piece, it struck me that one of the two perhaps is gone, and that an image has been painted quite masterfully by the author. In a masterly pose, we are poised, holding the brush, dipping liquid colors, bright hues, earth tones, and she goes on in just a marvelous way to have created a story that, as she says, navigates between darkness and light beautifully done.
Agreed. Thank you, Laurent. Wonderful comment. And it's so good to have you back and hear everybody's voice tonight, since we've all been in silence for the last couple of weeks. And Gwen, what did you think of this beautiful poem by Colette?
Wow, I thought this was just really pretty. It was abstract, but I liked it because it was extraordinary, and it gave me the feeling of different textures and the way that she used art and also different touches of thought of the creativity to be able to describe her poem. And it's like a piece of art, and it's describing that in your life as a illustration of the tableaus of color, and you could even use it as the metaphor as you pass through different points of your life, you know, early, middle-aged, older age, and this the way that she describes it, I thought it was really quite unique. I really enjoyed it.
Great, thank you. Beautiful comment. And I would like to, you read this poem, Miriam, and I would like your thoughts on it.
What I noticed most as I was reading it is the very clever use of language. A similar word close to another one in the internal rhymes. Unusual poetic device. It's just very, very skillfully used in the great imagery too. It's just, it's very well done. I am not very experienced in reading, I would call, experimental poetry, and I had trouble with it. You guys are too nice and probably didn't notice that I was having trouble because I'm very old, and I need punctuation. But I could tell that this was done intentionally and very skillfully, and I do appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Weaver.
Oh, hello. Oh, wow.
I know. I'm kind of not it. I haven't gotten warmed up yet. So
yeah. Oh,
don't worry.
Yeah, sorry. I'm actually just so happy to be here and not out of London because I was going, oh, help. So I'm calm now. I'm just a happy person. Ah, good. Uh-huh. Right. So now we have Another Time by Irish Rose. And Irish Rose, if you would read this for us, please.
Oh, sure. Thank you. Okay. What? All right, here we go. somewhere in a far-off haze, the year slowly falls away into days, boiling up from coffered memories into the brief light faintly we see. Coiled around our hearts entwined, chains of solid gold memories and time, bearing gold lockets with pictures of life, hanging safely in our museum's mind. The remembering time comes once again. Familiar same feelings gently take our hands, returning us to loving hearts and dreams, where mom and dad were still everything, and grandparents' white heads held loving smiles, and love was filled with a known glowing fire, and smells of balsam come wafting in. Mysteriously, I'm with you again, walking hand in hand, feelings never end. We stop and talk a while, go into a bar, and living our lives once again. You still have that great smile that lights up my life inside. The tear slowly rolls down my cheek. I try to hide. Love always clings to those memories. We talk and gently hold hands. You married the woman of your dreams, and I became the artist that I am. But time changes nothing in our lives. We are caught in that loving time that calls up all things once real in life, drifting in that alternative parallel dream, where what used to be seems quite real indeed. Life flows between us, haunting us again, as I'm caught in your spell in love with you still. My heart briefly pounds and bleeds and breaths as I see you again. Then we say how good it's been remembering. Old times you say I've been very good friend. We brace one more time, one last kiss for luck, as you walk out of my life forever again. The mists of time have been faithful tonight, and I watch you drive away home in the snow and the rain, my old love and dear friend. Feeling the rain fall gently on my face, I will remember this time and place. Forever in my mind, some memories we can never erase. Time has indeed treated us well tonight, and the twists and turns take us to that place of faded pictures and dreams of grace, where life lives beyond time and hearts are full without end. End poem.
This was a beautiful poem. I enjoy hearing you read it, and I'm going to let Frank comment first before we comment, and let's go ahead and get a comment from you, Francisco.
Yes, first of all, it was a touching read, very, very eloquently. I really enjoyed just the sincerity, you know, of this poem here. You know, you obviously bring us with the emotions from the beginning there, you know, from that first verse, the first stanza makes that. And it makes it more personal. I think we can relate to poetry of this. I've always felt when it's relatable. You did a marvelous job with this throughout the poem with just exquisite emotions throughout. And it was just a tale of love, and a tale that was just brought to the forefront with your words. And you did a fantastic job with that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yes, she did. And Gray Eyes, what did you think of Gwen's poem?
Well, you did a beautiful read of that, Gwen. And, you know, I really enjoyed the poem. You know, it's filled with love and missed connections, you know. Some memories can't be erased, you know, especially ones that take you back to that place that you once were. And I thought it was beautiful throughout. So great job. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
You know, what I loved about the poem was I could hear your emotions even without listening to you read, but you could hear them in your voice. You know, I loved the way that you wrote this here about the locket, how coiled around our hearts entwined chains of gold, solid gold memories and time, bearing gold lockets with pictures of life hanging safely in our museum's mind. And then you go in and you express to us those beautiful pictures that you have in your locket of those that you love and those that you still love, even though they're not with you. And, you know, and it's true, when you love somebody deeply, you know, especially if it's been for a while, those emotions are still there. You never lose them. And, you know, and you expressed that so beautifully where you said, I will remember this time and place
forever in my mind, some memories we can near erase. Time has indeed treated us well tonight. And how you separated, but, you know, just because you separated does not mean that you don't have emotions and feelings and memories that don't come up in your mind. Beautiful, beautiful poem, Gwen.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And Miss Katie, what did you think of Gwen's poem?
Oh, yeah, as everyone has already said, so much emotion and so beautifully written. It's hard sometimes to read what you've written when it means so much. And so you did a masterly mm-hmm. job of that. I really enjoyed it, and it's never easy. But it just flowed for me. It was the way you read it was beautiful. And again, it's just it's a very hard thing to do, but it can be therapeutic as well. And it just means that everybody else knows they also, if they're in pain, they're not alone. So well done, and thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And back to you, Miss Katie, for our next poem.
Yes, of course. My pleasure. This one is The Lifespan of a Butterfly. Isn't that beautiful? And could I ask Laurent, mm-hmm. would Laurent read this for us, please?
All right. The Lifespan of a Butterfly. Tender colored wings flying towards fate. Dreams of peasants and monarchs, of painted ladies, ambushed roses, cupped hands. Children wonder, what is beauty for? Elders sigh, pained breaths, cataract eyes, walking canes, respect the length of time. Butterflies hover over the prettiest flower. End poem.
That was a gorgeous read, Laurent. I enjoyed hearing you read it. And congratulations, Guilty, on your front page pick. And let's get him some comments. What did you think about this poem, Gwen?
Well, I thought it was really delicate. Very, very simple approach, very descriptive. And I get the feeling of the elderly person. I can just imagine what this is like, that they're watching this transpire. I thought it was really well done and just very sensitive.
Okay, thank you so much, Gwen. And I'd like to know what you thought of the poem, Miriam.
I really enjoyed this brevity and the contrast between the first half and the second half, and the first half being the way a child might look at a butterfly and wonder what is beauty for, trying to find the meaning in it. And then the second half, the older people respect the length of time butterflies hover over the prettiest flower. It's like we know that we're getting to the end of, anybody might be getting to it, but we know we are. And so just that feeling of making sure that we enjoy whatever there is to be enjoyed, such as the butterfly.
Mm-hmm. Lovely butterfly comment, Miriam. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Wonderful comment. And how about you, Frank?
Yes. I thought the analogy there of the butterfly was what was more depictive here, the poem. I agree with what Miriam just said. You know, the analogy there of the youth and the old, it just brought brought to the forefront there for me, just that picture there of a butterfly as well, and how much it is delicate in nature, and how we as people at times should come to realize our mortality as well. It's not ever going to be immortal. So I thought you did a fantastic job and a fantastic read.
Agreed, and that was a wonderful comment. So thank you. And we're back to you, Miss Katie, for our next poem.
Oh, thank you very much. Ah, dear, wonderful, wonderful. Right, so now we have 20 Steps by Cedar Chapman. And Frank, would you do me the ultimate honor of reading this for us, please.
All right. This is a poem by Peter Chapman. It's called 20 Steps. My legs betray me as they feebly try to hold back time. You grab my pinky. It gives me strength to move along this white linen torrid. Faceless people gaze with denture smiles, chopping in foam, iPhones, cameras. My eyes tingle and my sinuses swell. Today a pot of me is flying away. Ivory roses and chantilly orchids flow from a field of baby's breath. Lucent, cirrus drapes flow like a sail in the sea breezes notches me forward. The city skyline hovers over the ocean bay. Its silver ripples curl to the terraced edge like glittering ribbon hands, waving at me to follow them to the horizon. All sentinels surround our skies, ever so watchful, reminding me we are all part of the same circle. 18, 19, 20. I let go, our fingers slide apart. We breathe the silent air. You take a step, I stay behind. My vision blurred, yet still I see your beauty. And so proud to have watched you grow in the boom.
Wonderful. Wonderful read, Francisco. Wonderful poem, Cedar. What did you think about the poem, Gray?
Well, you did a beautiful job of reading the poem, right? But, you know, what I get out of this is a father walking his daughter, you know, to the groom in a wedding scenario. I could be wrong, but, you know, 20 steps is about what it would take to walk your daughter down the aisle in my imagination. But I thought it was beautiful. You know, it really has a wonderful essence to it that really flows quite beautifully. So a great write and a fabulous read.
Beautiful comment, Grant. I enjoyed it. And what did you think of Cedar's poem, Katie?
Oh, that was lovely, wasn't it? It was just a beautiful walk down that memory of a child you raise and you watch grow and are very proud of. And as Gray said, 20 steps, that's all it took. And he could hand over his lovely daughter to someone else to look after, which I thought was just beautiful. And that last stanza, of course, says everything, doesn't it? Our fingers slide apart. We breathe the silent air. You take a step. I stay behind. My vision blurred, right. Yet still I see your beauty and so proud to have watched you grow. Ah, lovely, beautifully done. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Beautiful comment, Katie. Thank you. And our next poet to comment is Lornot. Lornot, are you on mute?
It looks like he's dropped. I'll bring him back on.
Okay. There we go. Yeah, I got dropped
there
again.
Yeah.
Been waiting to be unmuted. Give me back my tongue, I said.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was dropped.
Yeah, amazing. Blog Talk Radio. It's one of those 20 steps. Cedar is not too different in age than me. And I view his poem as really something quite magic, because when you are going to give your daughter away, you're a writer, you hope that you write something worthy of the moment. And by God, that's exactly what he did. It's just beautiful, beautiful language. And the way he ended it, the daughter taking her steps out of his life, so to speak, just beautifully done.
Agreed. Beautiful comment, Narant. Thank you. And we're back to you, Miss Katie.
Okay. And here I am. And what we have now is we have Date Palm Phoenix, Dactyphilia by Robert J. Teague. And Laurent, as we have you and you're here with us, would you read this please before you disappear again?
Well, look, use me, abuse me, but don't misuse me.
I certainly wouldn't do any of those things when we're online. So go with it, babe.
All right. This is called Date Palm, Phoenix Dactylophyra. I once heard of a date palm seed that lasted for 2,000 years germinated in the dirt and planted not that long ago. And something in that offered a hope of what I'm not exactly sure. Continuance, endurance, love, that renaissance beyond all death. Then what if every seed of breath, each word was sown between these grooves, this soft gray matter of the head? May they return, defy the dead. Late summer, I'm still gardening, recalling scores we left unsaid. Within our silent stubbornness, did we surrender endlessness? Can we emerge from ashen earth, conceive renewal, slow rebirth? I sigh your name to conjure you. A cardinal darts through the view. And
oh my goodness, you did such a fabulous read of Robert Sisson's poem. I enjoyed it very much. And, you know, I want to thank all of you for coming in and spending time with us tonight on, you know, Happy New Year's Eve. And, you know, what a great way to start our show tonight with all these callers and people in the group. I really appreciate it, and I love you guys so much for it. And I would like to know what, let's see, you thought of the poem, Gwen.
Wow. I thought that was really interesting, the way he used the date palm to illustrate his point of rebirth. And he goes through all through the different steps of how it's sown, and then he takes the metaphor and then he turns it into a more personal reflection of mm-hmm. life. And I like the way he did that, and he goes to talk about then the seasons, especially late summer. I'm still gardening. He's not like really enthusiastic, but recalling scores we've left unsaid, within our silent stubbornness, did we surrender endlessness? So, you know, and he goes on with this kind of diatribe, and it goes mm-hmm. on, and it's kind of like reminding each of them that he's trying to renew this thing between them, and it doesn't seem to be going too well. I saw your name to conjure you, and we'll dodge through the view.
mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That's a far stretch, but whatever.
Enjoyable comment. Thank you, Gwen. And how about you, Miriam? What did you think of Robert Sisson's poem?
Well, it says that it's based on or inspired by a true story. And at first I thought, well, he's probably talking about the date palm seed. And then I thought, oh, gee, I hope he's talking about the cardinal at the end of the poem. I hope that's true. That's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. I sigh your name to conjure you. A cardinal darts through the view.
Yeah, that was a beautiful couplet. I agree. Thank you, Miriam. Wonderful comment. And Francisco, I would love to know what you thought of Robert's poem.
Yeah, I agree with what was said by this poem. In particular, the reference of the rebirth aspect here. You know, the date poem, the analogy there is something that begins the structure of the poem. But I thought throughout the poem there is a message there. There's also a relation that's been espoused here throughout the poem. And I like the definite ending of this with the cardinal reference, but I thought overall it was a fantastic, motivating poem.
Agreed. Thank you. Wonderful comment, Frank, and beautiful read, Francisco, and congratulations on your front page pick, Robert J. Pack. And we're back.
I did. It wasn't me who read it. That was Laurent.
No, I said wonderful comment, Francisco.
Oh, okay.
And gorgeous right. read, Laurent. And congratulations on your front page pick. Robert J. Tess, I know I'm kind of out of it tonight, but you know what? There's nothing more fun than a bunch of people who are all out of the same room.
I'm just teasing with you tonight. Don't worry. It's only teasing.
All the iron of our minds together.
Together.
I need to find the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next up, we have Alcoholic Angst by Ole Lunin and Grey Eyes. Would you do me the privilege of finding this and playing the SoundCloud, please?
Okay, sure. No momento, por favor.
Oh, I love when you speak to me in a foreign language.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
I started laughing because I'm going to start coughing.
Alcoholic
I will be
angst.
Back.
Has it ever occurred to you how fast our teeny tiny planet turns around its axis? I mean, if I was a real perfectionist like Archimedes, I would have hoisted that line into an upright position so it wouldn't look so depressing from the depths of space. Hey, don't you respect me or something? It's not like anyone else on this mud ball expects great things from you. You should taste those 4,000 years we had to spoil the process of making beer. Imagine, people would get themselves buried with this shit. The higher-ups, priests and kings, and the only thing getting buried with beer right now is my goddamn dignity. Don't you think that's a little sad? I mean, I like to lie down after a pint as much as the next guy, but think about it. People bowing their heads toward you in their most tender, most vulnerable moments when they are about to dream and throw up. By the way, it's been ages since I failed to hold my drink. You just hold on there, you tiny green ball. Stop spinning around so much and get me some goddamn water. The bubbly one, not that spring water shit that we've been spoiling for 6,000 years. God, I toiled for so long that I can't even reach the toilet. Me, the great priest of the earth, the mud thing, the goddamn girly pouring beverages to the rest of the sad angsty cosmos. Stop spinning so fast. It makes the pauses in between my labors seem eternal.
Gray, would you like to take over for a moment?
Well,
please go.
Sure. That was a fantastic read, and the write was totally engaging. You know, you put yourself in his shoes, you know, when the world seems spinning as you, you know, get over your drinks that, you know, has your head spinning so hard. But you can't blame Earth. I mean, that's your own silly, you know, involvement with alcohol. And I really enjoyed it, though. I really thought it was a fantastic read and a read. And what did you think, Irish Rose?
Oh, I thought it was an alcoholic poem. I thought he did a good job. You know, he had a lot of angst in there, and he just kept reiterating the same thing over and over again, so it sounded pretty alcoholic to me. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. He did a good job.
Thank you, Irish. And Miss Katie, it is your turn to comment on Ole's poem. What did you think about it?
Wow. That was a tirade. That was looking into somebody's mind and going, ooh, a little bit more than I would like to know. Yes, everything was just... I really like the most vulnerable moments when you are about to dream and then throw up. By the way, it's been ages since I failed to hold my drink. Now you see, he's proud of that. He's proud of the fact that he's able to function.
Well, yeah, but he's an alcoholic.
Exactly.
Well, I'm looking at him. If you look at his comments, he tells somebody, yeah, actually trying to imagine the proper ordering of immaterial things in my life is a whole other idea for a poem. So, you know, he says that he realized it's been almost a year, you know, but anyway, so he says that the damn planet is spinning too fast. The damn planet is spinning too fast.
Yeah, well, it's spinning too
fast.
Keep
going, Katie.
Well. No, I've had that. I've said my little bit. Thank you. And back to you.
Thank you. And Laurent, I would love to know what you thought of Ole's poem. And Miriam, after Laurent comments, could you please put Miriam's poem up because she said she's exhausted.
Yes, I already have it in place. Thank you.
Thank you, sweetheart.
No problem, darling.
Yeah, I'd like to go to the end of it. me, the great priest of the earth, the mud thing. Now, he's posturing himself as some kind of other earthly, he's not quite human. He's dealing in thousands of years, but not enormous spans of time, 4,000 years, 2,000 years. And it's the type of poem that you would write if you imagine that somehow all the burdens of the world are descending on you. Now, you're in your cups, of course, enjoying your beer, but you're also being a little bit of an ass and a little bit arrogant and ready to blame anyone, including the earth, for a whole
really
series
uncle.
Of problems. So, yes, it does represent, I think, the process of drinking and then writing an insubstantial thing that doesn't always work out. But in this case, it's...
I agree. Thank you, Laurent. Excellent comment. And we are back to you, Miss Katie.
Okay, now we have Verbing at Sea by our dear Miriam. Miriam, would you read this for us, please?
I would indeed. First, I would like to say this is from a contest by Shy Blue, and that I used to criticize people for their neologisms, and then it occurred to me that I was doing it quite a lot myself, and maybe I was being a bit of a hypocrite. But I love neologisms if I've written them myself. So anyway, here she was encouraging us to take a noun and turn it into a verb, and our excuse being that the poet Gerard Manley Hopkins did it. So it is actually not new. It's verbing at sea. I will poem you softly, warm breezes, stippling still water. I will poem you recklessly rushing, tempest-churned breakers. Heed the subtle whispers of my rapturous fancies. Answer the eager echoes of my yearning swell, my swaying seas, my undulating coming home. Tsunami me.
I thought this was a fabulous poem. I've got to say, I love your verbs, your language, the way you wrote this. I mean, when I saw that first line, I couldn't help but smile. I will poem you softly. You know, isn't that something that we do when we write? That, especially if it's a love poem or something about nature. And I thought that was just fabulous. Warm breezes, stippling still water. And then you repeat it again. I will poem you recklessly rushing tempest-churned breakers. Ah, and then that tsunami meet with the just, beautiful, just beautifully penned. I thought this was perfection. I enjoyed it so much, Miriam, and I really enjoyed hearing you read. And I would like to know what you thought about the poem, Gwen.
I really enjoyed it. I like the way you opened it. I will poem you softly. I will poem you recklessly. And that was beautifully descriptive. And then you go to your second stanza and you tone it down a little with heed the subtle whispers of my rapturous fantasies. Answer the eager echoes of my yearning swell, my swaying seas, my undulating coming home, and then tsunami me. And that leaves the reader feeling like, you know, it's like, ooh, overwhelmed. Very well done. Enjoyed it.
I agree.
Thank you. Wonderful comment.
And how about you, Francisco?
Well, someone who admires the sea, I have to say I really enjoyed this poem here. You know, the whole notion there of using verbs there for the most part to use in this poem here really makes it much more exciting to read. And you brought us, even though it's only two stanzas here, you really brought us throughout the poem with your metaphors there, particularly the ones referencing the sea itself. Good job. Good poem.
Agreed.
Thanks so much.
And thank you, Miriam, for calling in. You have a good night and happy new year.
Good Thank you so much, and to all of you.
Yeah. Likewise.
Good night.
Happy New Year.
Good night, Miriam.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, Miriam.
Night, Miriam.
And we are now ready for our next fabulism.
Okay. And next we have...
Ooh.
Yes. Waterfall of Bliss by our dear Frank. And it has a SoundCloud, Gray, if you could grab that, please.
Sure, you betcha. Okay, 1 second.
Thank you.
Francisco Del Mar. Okay. All right, here we go.
Every seductive stroke from my brush is dipped in deep eroticism, exuding the teasing exoticism of your sensuality displayed. A cool tincture covered in the canvas of your curvaceous body. I paint every inch of its delicious contour with my lustful palate. I make you shiver with your rhythmic touch of my artistry. I peel through the warm layer of your soft skin. I adore, yearning to be in the dripping drops of moistened oil. My fingers explore the realm of sexual pleasure. Your nudity evokes the hidden desires of an impartial painter. You awaken the spectrum of my darkest fantasies. Imbued with the wet scent of a waterfall of bliss. I am your Picasso, the lover of your illicit moans. Eres los colores de hacer del amor, la musa de mi obra maestra. You are the colors of lovemaking, the muse of my masterpiece.
Oh my goodness, Francisco.
Woo,
I am telling you, these cups, yeah.
Ay, Dios. Híjole.
This is deeply erotic. Let's see if you don't get me start coughing by making me breathe hard here already.
I don't blame you.
This was just, you awaken the spectrum of my darkest fantasies, imbued with the wet scent of a waterfall of bliss. I am your Picasso, the lover of your illicit moans.
Ah! Qué caliente. Dios mío, qué rico. This was just beautifully canned. It was masterfully done. It was like watching a painter with his palette and just with all his emotions and passions and his ecstasy and, as you say, his spectrum, he just paints the woman's body as he does a canvas. This was just gorgeous, Frank. It's beautiful, but at the same time,
it has a touch of deep eroticism. Oh, gorgeous, Frank.
Yeah.
Oh, the music just made it even. Yeah, the music just made it even more delicious. Mm-hmm.
Spanish guitar does that.
And, mm-hmm, thank you. And Gray, I would love to know what you thought of Francisco's song.
Muy caliente, mi amigo. Fantastic, great. explicit imagery.
Oh,
and,
I appreciate
you know,
that.
You can feel the passion and the fire that burns within you. So great job. Thank you for sharing.
Well, I appreciate that. And next time I'll take you one of these days over to Spain to go to a Spanish bar so you can hear some of that flamenco guitar.
Yeah, that would be fabulous. Thank you, Gray Eyes. Excellent comment. And, of course, Miss Katie, I would love to know what you thought.
Oh, hello. So good. Oh, I really enjoyed this. I do love the rhyming couplets. That's one of my favorite things that are happening at the moment. It's great fun, and I just really enjoy that. The music in the background, guitar plucking good. I liked it a lot. Wow. I paint every inch of its delicious contours with my lustful palette. I make you shiver with the orgasmic touch of my artistry. I love it. It is really, and it's pared down so beautifully so that you're really getting every single word hits you. Lovely. I've really enjoyed it. And you see, I'm not even laughing. And that's unusual for me. You got to admit that.
I believe you there, Weaver. I believe you.
I was doing so well. I loved it. I loved it. You just make me shiver, which has got to be a damn good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
All right, thank you.
I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Miss Katie. And Laurent, I would love to know what you thought.
Oh, this is an admirably erotic piece. You know, there are painters who paint with great passion. They make love to the canvas, if they paint, so to speak. And here, I think Frank does exactly the same thing. He paints his pictures with verbally beautiful phrasing and the eroticism, and makes love to the page, as it were. So I enjoyed it thoroughly, as I did the read. Very nicely done, Frank.
Well, I appreciate that. If I just inspired here, the concert here by, I believe, Naomi. It was one of the brush strokes here, and I have to say that to him.
Well, it was a wonderful inspiration. Thank you. And Ms. Weaver, we're ready for our next point. I don't know why you got everybody's. We already got scrambled brains tonight, okay? That's not helping.
You're not coughing. You're not coughing, Liz. I didn't make you
cough.
No, coffee.
I forgot that I needed to cough.
There you go.
Well, you be ready to cough again. Here we have an offer you can't refuse by Lawrence 67. And Gray, would you read this for us, please?
Sure, you bet. Yeah. Okay. An Offer You Can't Refuse by Lawrence 67. The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and His Homie Alfie. Alfie. Hey, Nigel, I'm going to make you offer you can't refuse. Nigel. Huh? Alfie. Now put on this horse's head. Nigel. Huh?
What
are you doing with that knife? Alfie. Now stand very still. Nigel. Huh? Yikes. Help me! Alfie, look at that horse's head, hon. And end poem.
Well, you know what? You know, I don't want to get out of line. So let's go ahead and start. Gwen, I would love to know what you thought of Lawrence's poem. Gwen? Did she drop?
Oh, here she's back. Oh. She got dropped. There you are.
She got dropped. Is she back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, she is.
Oh, Gwen, I would love to know what you thought of Lawrence's poem.
Am I on now?
Yes. Can you hear
okay,
you?
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah. Well, Alfie took off, so I thought it was a sweet short poem. It was cute. Very well done.
It was cute. He says
yeah.
that it's a scene from the Godfather movie when he gives a casino
right.
owner that doesn't want to sell to him, he gives him an offer he can't refuse. He cuts his favorite racehorse head off and, what does that say,
mm-hmm.
puts it in his bed while he's asleep. Oh, my God. So that's – he writes comic poetry, and it's just funny, just something to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Gwen. And Frank, I would like to know what you think.
Well, I think you said everything I need to say there. Obviously, he has a great knack of writing satire, humor. This is no exception. I didn't know what this poem was referring to until I myself went down and looked at what you commented on there. So I thought he did a fantastic job. He just brings us comic relief at times when we do need at times these type of poetry on the air. And I thought he did a fantastic job there. And every time he does,
mm-hmm.
he seems to always bring the right poem. Great job.
Mm-hmm. Well, I enjoy his poetry. He's just got an unusual sense of humor, and
yeah.
I enjoy it. And, you know, just like it says, we all poetry for each of us is how we express ourselves, and he likes to express his humor, and I enjoy it. Thank you, everybody. Miss Katie, we're ready for our next poem. And I think we're on open poetry right now.
Are we? Oh, dear.
Okay. Yeah, already. Look how fast it's gone.
I know. Okay, I'll just be back in a moment. Talk amongst yourselves.
No, thank you.
Blimey. Okay, just give me a second.
Just to lock yourself out there.
Yeah, I'm all right. I'll get there, don't worry. Oh, here we have it. I love it. This keeps me alive, what can I say? Keeps the old heart beating. Maybe a little bit too fast, but, you know, that's fun. Okay, this is Fated to Be by Teresa Strentikoff. I love that name. Gwen, would you
what
like to
it?
Read this for us? This is Fated to Be by Teresa.
Yes, okay.
You
Fated
okay?
to
Hi.
Be.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Fated to Be. Begin poem. Fated to be together, him and I, our souls connected at birth. Fate brought us together in the most peculiar way. Met many years prior to now, but don't exactly remember how we met. Now, some 23 years later, we fell in love in just an instance. I truly do believe in fate and that our cards are dealt from the time of our conception to the time our heart stops beating. In the poem.
This is a beautiful poem by Teresa, and you beautifully read this. She got a front page pick also and gold and silver medal. And, you know, where she talks about it. Oh, and it's not my turn to comment. You did a beautiful read. Great. I would love to know what you thought of Teresa's poem.
Yeah, you know, I believe in quantum entanglement, so that kind of speaks to that in this right. I don't know if you all know what quantum entanglement is, but it's when your being is to, you know, it's predestined in the universe that, you know, you couple with the person that you couple with. And I think that's what this captures to me. I thought it was a beautiful, engaging, right, thought-provoking as well. You did a great job reading it.
Thank you, Gray. And Katie, what did you think of Teresa's poem?
Beautifully written. I love the idea of that, fated to be together, him and I, our souls connected at birth. And I think, you know, if you can believe that's true, that's a wonderful thing, that there is someone out there just for you. It's lovely. And yet, again, I suppose if you don't find your soulmate. That must be horrible. Yeah, I just thought it was beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. It had to be written, if you know what I mean. This is something that had to be out there. And I like that idea that, you know, you're giving this out to people to read and believe or not believe it. You do what you like with it. But I really, really thought it was wonderfully written. So thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Katie. And Laurent, what did you think of Teresa's film?
I like that a great deal. You know, the human animal always tries to make sense of the world around him or her. And in retrospect, fate always seems inevitable, as if it was cast in stone. You know, it was meant to be, so to speak. And in trying to establish some kind of reason for existence, a reason for understanding life, fate always pops up. And I think it's easy to say that fate is inevitable, but, you know, I believe in that, too. There are so many twists and turns over decades, and then something ends up being what it is. And to look back and try and follow its torturous path to the present is incredible. And the poem was very good.
Agreed. And, Gray, I'm going to turn it back over to you. I'll be right back.
Okay. Frank, sorry, what did you think of the poem?
Yes, you know, I thought the poem itself really reflected the notion of what someone believes in, you know, whether it's esoteric, whether it's aesthetic or it's something of substance. I think that she did a fantastic job in such brief lines here to depict that notion of that personal notion of what conjures fate and how it, and how it relates to her relations. So I thought it's a fantastic job. But...
Great comment, Frank. Thank you so much. Okay, Weaver, where are we to next?
Hello. Right, we're back. And we're on to The Lash of Years by Laurent. And Laurent, would you give us a read for us, please?
Yes, ma'am. The Lash of Years. See there, on the hanging of the night, the ghosts of our futures, past and present, gauzy things, cloaking the paths of day, the serpentine hours of night, each star a crucifixion. Oak tree stands on a river bank, hollowed out by age, creaking towards the water with inevitable sorrow. Its words float on the wind, a language of the planted, held fast to the soil and loam, dimly muttering of the seasons. Trolling the still lakes and reflecting pools, answers do not bite, avoiding my hook. At sea, a storm screams its justifications, responding to meaning. Still looking in the wrong places, after all, serenity as catechism doesn't work, but angst injects its vigor, and so one flexes towards a sky denied by corruption of spirit, mentored by the lash of years, stars as signposts, one determinative path down which to travel. End poem.
Beautiful read, Laurent. And Irish Rose, what did you think of the write and read?
Oh, wow. Laurent, this was very, very deep dive you took here. On a way of looking at life, and how it brings things that kind of get in our way of life, and how we start to recognize that experience, and we go on and we still see markers that remind us of that. We troll the memories of the still lakes and reflecting pools, and we don't have those same responses as we used to have, or that perhaps we're looking for, And we think we're looking in the wrong places, maybe. And maybe prayer helps, so maybe that doesn't help either. But maybe some other thing that's new and different, untried, that could help. And you try to keep searching. And you keep searching, and you're under this experience from life that you feel you can't escape from, that has determined your path. And maybe it has, but you don't know because you're still traveling down the road. I like this. This is really, really good. Very well done.
That's a great comment, John. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Oh, absolutely. Stellar comment. Thank you, Irish. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
As ever, masterfully written. I really enjoyed this. I can understand the feelings that are invoked by this, the lash of years. It is. It's. Yes, we do try to find meaning. Yes, we do look for the things that we expect and are troubled when we don't get what we expect anymore. This is my favorite one. I think Gwen already said this one, perhaps. Trawling the still lakes and reflecting pools, answers do not bite, avoiding my hook. At sea, a storm screams its justifications, responding with meaning. Yeah, so you know, deep down, we all know that things change and things will change and things won't always be exactly as we want them to be. But I thought this was beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. And your read was
fabulous.
Thank you.
Thank you, Weaver. Thank you.
A great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this the title itself, Loss of Years, it's really, you know, very indicative of experience, of life experience. And this stanza there was pretty much what was indicative to me, you know, the ghosts of our futures, past and present. But as you go up this whole poem, this poem is intended to give us insight as well to the experiences that we experiment in life. And we juxtapose them at times for emotions and other things that are commonly, you know, relatable to us as humans. And I think that the notion there of using the lash of years really is, it just embodies the notion of life in general, of going through experiences and having to reflect from those experiences. Fantastic job on this poem. I'm always impressed by Lawrence Wright's. He just brings his own person of insight into his poetry. That's what makes it uniquely his.
Thank you, Frank.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Great comment, Frank. All right, Weaver, where are we to next?
And next we have Love Would Carry Us Home by Titus. And there is a SoundCloud for this one, please, Gray.
Okay. No problem. Okay, here we go.
A nutcracker sweet. Mother, look what Fritz has done. Why, how small-minded. It is my wish he'd stop breaking up toys and ruining things. Anticipation asks, wait for Christmas Day. He is reminded often. We anticipate receiving our gifts. Stupidity brings. Midnight chooses to bring us a more larger than life that is Godfather Drosselmeyer's wish. Not being foolish, to annoy. I take away his happiness for you, Clara. Glee will not be his. The lesson learned is he will never ever break another toy. If not for the sake of cracking nuts, attention. Quick march. Left, right, left, right, at rat. It seems I'm confined to barracks. The illusion of starlight, maybe I can amble under the arch. All godfathers call time when I'm fixed. Time, it backtracks. In no time at all, I'm larger than life. Then if the giver of love has brought coincidence together as these wishes, please, I'll be cracking nuts again in no time. No time? Look above and see for yourself the tree. extraordinary lights are these? I see Fritz has lined up the chocolate mice. He's ready.
What happened?
I think that was a wrong poem. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yes, I believe so, but that's all right then. It was a fantastic film,
Gray, are you there, my dear?
Yes, I'm sorry. That was the wrong poem for the SoundCloud.
Okay, no problem. Would you like someone just to read this then?
Sure, maybe Frank could read it.
Yeah, good idea.
All right. We're doing the same poem, Love Would Carry Us Home?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. This is a poem by Tidy, Love Would Carry Us Home. The innocence of youth, early adulthood, connect me to some fabricated fairy tale. The rails of Brittany, that of Red Riding Hood, of Hansel and Gretel, are lost at the veil. They'll search for those happy ever afters, therein which time to aid, a soul search well, it might naively place the many laughters aimed at my expense, the outcomes do tell. There are wolves and witches among you, accompany my every move, except that is, my death it would enable my freedom to give up any happiness for what the abyss. Though in my lowest point mouth of a man, he stumbles upon what is in an opportune moment, one that will profit for certain, to maintain time for which one is immune. Having turned again, fate would flash back to a time of innocence. Fate, its first cause, underlying issues, would ultimately go back to a time of uncertainty, presenting a pause. Your carriage awaits ye, a patient of a saint. A journey of many years, I trust it will carry the memory of your time, if her is faint, to take the place of others for you marry, in acquaintance as such as his to oversee the forfeit of the word. These emissaries have sworn allegiance to help seek the key to eternal joy, poets do keep as luminaries. A fairy godmother is love, who will abide time between the years before she appears. Your words will have enriched to confide a love besides togetherness for add years. But as the written word has taken place, love and wait or time itself will proceed. At that point, a grave concern will surface, your needs to come face to face. Indeed, moments of a lifetime I have written to exceed all fantasy with you, my now wife, the romantic at heart, now soft as a mitten, but was never enough, is larger than life in the poem.
That was a beautiful read, Francisco. Could you read this author's note?
Yes. Okay, this is a lengthy one. The one thing lacking in my life after grandfather died in 1962 was love. From then on, after having failed terribly after 26 years, love, an elusive woman theme, having lost and found the same woman on three different occasions. I would return to poet on my return from India alone in love, was obtained finally by 2003. After 3 years, I lost my job from jealousy. My work ethics were relentless, losing three jobs, working too hard. But we were away in 2015. After turning a downtrodden school into a beautiful place, I was sacked. It means working alone, April 2023, the job of my dreams. I am left to work to my heart's content, and I will do till everything is complete, then retire. I live December 2014 or December 2025. I shall retire. After 57 years, both love and happiness offer keeps. Poetry explore my hopes and dreams. End of poem. Excuse that late for me as well.
That's okay. Sometimes we find that it is kind of hard to find the love where somebody just accepts you for yourself.
Yeah,
and like a grandfather, and then to
fall in love and fail and to have all these issues in his life, I hope he doesn't stop writing poetry, because his words are enchanting. They are beautiful. Finally, the Cinderella happiness appeared to him eventually. You know, it was so difficult for him in his life. And then especially where I listened to him where he says, as acquaintances as such as his to oversee the forfeit of the word, these emissaries have sworn allegiance to help seek the key to eternal joy. Poets do keep as luminaries. I mean, that is just so gorgeous. And to finally realize that the fairy grandmother blessed him with love. And then, you know, he puts towards the end that he says, moments of lifetime I have written to exceed all fantasy with you, my now wife, the romantic at heart, now soft as a mitten. What was never enough is larger than life. You know, and to have somebody take your hand and support you and help you go through all these issues, especially if you're a person. And, you know, sometimes it is true, people can't appreciate the skill of your hands or your work. For him to rebuild things and to, you know, have him, you know, be fired, you know, for having good ethics. And, you know, and I find that the people who work the hardest are treated the worst, and the lazy ones just seem to get away with bloody murder. And this, you know, and sometimes, you know, people in love, sometimes it's that separation, that breakup that makes you realize what you had and what you want, and that is the person that you want. And, you know, I'm happy for him, and I wish him all the best. I mean, you did a beautiful read, and I'm just going to go by my list because I don't know who commented when. So, let's see. She's not here. Is Gwen still here?
Yeah, I am. I'll have to read it again, though. I was away for a minute.
Okay, Irish Rose, I will come back to you. Frank, you did a beautiful read of this poem, and I would love to know what you thought of it.
Well, first of all, I have to say no one can repeat or do a recital of his. He's one of a kind, I tried it. But it was a pleasure for me to do. Quickly to the poem, I was very, very much it just gives you the emotions of what he went through. You know, he uses the metaphors here of Red Riding Hood, Hansel and Gretel, and so on. Mm-hmm. But he's talking about his life experience, his life journey above all, and how in the end he sees the fruition of his struggles, of his sacrifice, and how his romantic side as well sees the fruition of art fulfilled as well. And I like the notion there that he ends the poem with the romantic at heart, not soft as a mitten, but was never enough, it's larger than life. There is some philosophy also in this poem. There's a bit of a magical feel throughout the poem. I thought he did fantastic, and it was just an excellent as always.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Gwen, did you have a chance to read it or look at it over and like to make a comment?
I can't make a comment right now. I'm sorry, I got interrupted.
Okay, all right, so I'm going to go ahead and let Laurent, is Laurent with us still?
No, Laurent has dropped.
Okay, so Laurent has got. Okay, Gray Eyes, you're next to comment.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, you know, especially Frank reading it, you know, he has that theatrical voice, which really brought this to life, but, you know, the innocence of youth, early adulthood, connect me to some fabricated fairy tale. Their ale sobriety, that of Red Riding Hood or Hansel or Gretel, all us would prevail. They'll search for those happily ever afters, during which time, to aid a soul search well, it might naively place the many laughters aimed at my expense, the outcomes do tell. And I also enjoyed the next line, there are wolves and witches among you, accompanying my every move. Except that is my death, mm-hmm. It would enable my freedom to give up any happiness or what the abyss. But, you know, I thought it was fantastic. You know, it has an excellent theme to it, and thoroughly engaging throughout. So thank you for sharing, Titus, and a fabulous read.
Agreed. Agreed. Thank you. And I was just looking at Robbie's comment. I suppose, this is Robbie's poetry. He writes, I suppose that companies like people that are ruthless so they get promoted. And, you know, unfortunately, that's the way it is. So thank you for your comment. All right. So we're back to you, Katie.
Okay. And Gwen, I have one piece of poetry here for you. Do you feel able to read it?
Yeah, what would that be? Which one?
The one is Breath. It's the first one on the list of open poetry.
Oh.
Oh, do you want
Breath?
To
I don't see it. Did you post it?
No, not yet, because I was
Breath?
Asking if she wanted to do
oh,
it.
Oh, okay.
Do you want this one or do you want the other one, Gwen?
Oh, we can do Frosted and Blood Red Crimson Leaves. No, let's do Breath. Let's just do what you have there. That's good.
Okay.
Whatever you have.
If you're fine with that, that's fine by me. So
I'm fine. It's
thank
Breath,
you.
Right?
Yes, Breath, and it's there for you now.
All right. That's good. Thank you. All right. Sun rises over the day. Woods come in, resting in my heart, displayed. And I hear you walking in my soul, quietly. Walking at the break of day, my thoughts, exposing my words, quietly. Read, flowing, coursing, the breath breathed deeply within. Close into me, quietly diving, divining needs, and dreams that rush, filtered air, living, becoming those words, that breath that breathes, encircling thoughts that float and dance, moving within the heart, release, door. Above the chains that will no longer bind, freed into the air that breathes only life. Impulse.
Beautifully read, Irish Rose. This is just absolutely gorgeous. Let's go ahead and get you some comments. I would love to know what you thought about her poem, Katie.
Oh, it was very beautifully read. I enjoyed it a lot. I like the way you've composed this. The lines are so well staggered so that you're just taken from one thought to the next. And I like that. I love the fact that it's written like this. And I thought this one, and I hear you walking in my soul quietly, walking at break of day quietly, exposing my thoughts, exposing my words quietly. Oh, beautifully done. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for reading that.
Thank you.
Hello?
Hello? Hello.
Yeah.
Lou, you must
We're
have
still here.
Lou,
did she
go?
Yeah, I think she dropped.
Is Gray around?
Gray, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Oh,
I am.
My God.
You got dropped.
I thought we were on the.
So, Frank, what did you think of?
Yes.
What did you think of Irish Rose's poem?
Yeah, it had this ethereal feeling to it. It really brought me into perspective here, just my own sense of mortality as well, and how, you know, how much we take for granted at times, the smallest thing, which is breath. You know, when we look at it and we don't realize the importance of what breathing, what that, you know, what entails as life. I like the way you bring in the notion there of walking in my soul, walking at break of day, exposing my thoughts. It's just very, very, it had a philosophical element to it as well. But I thought overall the poem was just excellent. And the way you read it was very, very, I would say it was very vivid. It was just, it was beautifully written.
Mm-hmm. I just thought it was beautiful. The method of breathing, the technique of breathing, you know. I know that sometimes we all of us in our life feel so much pressure every day. There's so much stress in the world. And, you know, going along with what, you know, Frank said, you know, that quality of how important it is, you know, I don't know if any, you know, when I have been with people who have passed away, you know, watching them take that last breath, you know, just, we cannot live without breathing. And, you know, you bring out the beauty of this, you know, it was so tranquil. And at the same time, it was filled with such deep emotion. Where I heard you read, and I hear you walking in my soul quietly, walking at break of day quietly, exposing my thoughts, exposing my words. You know, and I just thought that just touched me deeply. I got tears in my eyes. You know, where you talked about that breath that breathes. Encircling thoughts that float and dance, moving within the heart, released to spar above the chains that can no longer bind, free into the air. You know, this was just beautifully penned, beautifully written, beautifully read, and I really love this poem, Gwen.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you.
And we're back to you, Miss Katie.
Alrighty. Oh, disappeared. Going after some cheese somewhere. There we are. We have Ariadne. No, Aria for Ariadne by Ole Lunin, and it has a SoundCloud. Gray, if you could look that for me.
Sure.
Thank you.
1 second here. So that's Aria for Ariadne.
Ariadne, yeah.
Ariadne, okay, here we go.
Aria for Ariadne. I'm yours and you're mine. We are in a ball of twine. It's divine and quite sublime. We are two partners in a crime. Tied by twine, you shouldn't whine. Drink your wine, wind down, sit down. Let me take away that crown. Don't you drown in waters brown. Let's get loose upon this town. Dream not of a bridal gown. Just have fun one more day under the sun. Run and I will run along, prove you wrong and sing a song. Oh, how long our lives would be if we tied each other free.
This was just beautiful. I really enjoyed, you know, I was just looking at his comments, the T. Ink poem. He goes, I didn't mean it in a musical way. Although poetry is music in a whole other sense, but that's besides the point. But following away undertone is an attitude that lies under the ostensible tone of a literary work. You know, I just, you know, I enjoy his poetry. He's just so lyrical. You know, and I do believe poetry is music in its own way. And I just loved his last stanza, you know, to enjoy life and to enjoy town. You know, don't think about the serious things about getting married. You know, a lot of people, you know, that's some women, that's, you know, young girls, that's all they think about. But, you know, life goes so quickly. And, you know, we need to, and this for me is to live a little and enjoy life. You know, one more day under the sun, run and I will run along. you know. So I just really enjoyed this. What did you think about? Okay, so since I was off and I don't know who commented, so Gwen, you haven't had a chance to comment, so I would like to know what you thought.
I thought this was really nice. It was really well done. It was cute the way that they had he had near rhymes going through the whole thing, and it just worked out really well. You know, I've done that sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and I get some interesting things, and this was one of those things that worked out really well. And I just enjoyed it. It was fun.
It was. Thank you. And
hello, Lydia?
Hello?
Yeah, hello. Oh.
Hello?
She said and?
What?
Oh, she dropped. Mm-hmm. Weaver, what are your thoughts?
I thought that it was absolutely beautiful. I loved the way it flowed, and it really did. It was lyrical, and that's a wonderful
uh-huh.
thing. As Lou, you said, poetry, it can be. Well, let's face it, what is a song other than poetry set to music? So, you know, it's there. It's intertwined. It's how it should be. But I particularly loved Tied by Twine, You Shouldn't Whine. Drink your wine. Sit down. Let
yeah.
me take away that crown. I love that. I mean, you could, as I say, you can put that to music and you could dance along. So I liked it. But although we do have a little bit of a dig in here in the next stanza, which I enjoyed. Don't you drown in waters brown. Let's get loose upon
mm-hmm.
this town. Dream not of a bridal gown. Just have fun. One more day under the sun. I thought, hello, there's a little hint. I liked it very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. And you need to refresh your page. Jack put a poem in at the last minute.
Yes, I saw it.
Okay, so I wasn't sure. Just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
Irish Rose. Irish Rose just got dropped. I don't know if she'll be back or not.
Okay, so let's put Jack's up next then. Here we are, one moment. Are we having fun so far? Yes, I think we are.
Yes, we're having fun.
Just wanted to check. So we have Morning Light by Jack Tomkovich and Frank. Could you read this for us, please?
All right. This is a poem by Jack Tomkovich, and it goes like this. Awaken with you, the dawning of blue, on a pink and orange morning. All is right, and angel light, as birds sing, wings in flight. My eyes fly over mountains and valleys for view, hover, then discover, rivers and oceans still to explore, rainforests, savannas, and more, Balboa in Panama. End of poem. Is he referring to
you...
Balboa there?
You read his author's notes?
Yes. Waking up of one you love is beyond wonderful. Peace and much joy, and you find your one.
Mm-hmm. Excellent read, and I really enjoyed it. And you are next to comment.
Well, you know, this is a poem itself that really talks about enjoyment. Enjoying waking up with the dawn of blue, enjoying birds, enjoying the sight of mountain valley. This is a type of poem that I enjoy, just being one with Mother Nature. So I thought it was a fantastic poem. You know, it's not a lengthy poem, but the words are enough, sufficient, just to understand the gist of the poem. So I thought it was fantastic in that regard.
Mm-hmm. You know, what I love his love poems that he writes for his wife.
Yeah.
He's very, you know... you know, it. You know, he wakes up in the morning light to wake up and look at the person that you love next to you. And, you know, for me, this, you know, metaphorically, we are all different. We all have our different personalities, our different likes, you know, and this is the way that, you know, that I saw, he says, my eyes fly over mountains and valleys of you, you know, to be in a beautiful environment and be with the one you love. Or to me, this also means that, you know, sometimes we're adventurous, you know,
the valleys where we want to just sit and throw rocks and feed the ducks, or, you know, and then he says the rivers and oceans, you know, and that can be our personalities, how we can be so excited and, you know, furious. You know, we can be as loud as the ocean, and also we can also cover you over in love. So, you know, the rainforest, I could just, you know, see her talking to him and him enjoying it, or the savannas, you know, where it's hot and you're holding somebody's hand. And, you know, because in different weather, there's different emotions that come up and different memories that come up. So I really love this. Balboa in Panama cracked me up. Then I really enjoyed listening to you read this. And our next poet to comment is Gray.
I enjoyed it. You know, it has a gentleness to it that speaks to who Jack is, and it's in his heart and soul. He's a very gentle, loving, caring man, and this comes through in his right quite beautifully. So it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. You did a great read of it, Frank.
Yes, you did. Thank you, Gray. And Katie, would you like to make a comment?
Yes, I thought it was a beautiful tribute to his lovely wife. I do love that fact that he has such a beautiful relationship. And, you know, in this day and age, it's not always that easy to spend that long with one person. We're very transitory nowadays in the way we have relationships. You know, it's a here today, gone tomorrow kind of society. But I love
that. Yeah, so do I. You know, and I think people go that you stay in a long relationship with your mother and your father and your cousins and your aunties, if you have a good relationship, you know, and I don't know why people think it's so hard to be with one person. You know, to me, it's, you know, that type of, I would love to be gray-haired and have a cup of coffee and some rocking chairs sitting out in the front yard watching the sun come up, and that would make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, simplicity. There's just something about simplicity. At least it is for me. With a little bit of excitement. You know.
There's nothing stopping you there.
Yeah. So, and Miss Katie, sweetheart, and Gwen, good night. I hope you didn't get, I don't know, the phone's been dropping me all night. Thank you, Gwen, for calling in. And so we're back to you, Miss Katie. We still have time.
Yep. Now, I can leave Gwen's next one for her to read herself, or
oh,
I can put
we
it
can
up.
Wait. I'll leave it for her.
Yeah.
She wrote me and said to say goodnight to everybody.
Oh, lovely. Okay, we'll go back then to the front page picks. And the next one up is Chain the Stars and Mock the Jealous Sun by White Tiger. Now, who would like to read this?
White Tiger.
I like the sound of it. Let me just see. Just give me a second. Yeah, I haven't read much, so I'll read this one, if you don't mind. I like the sound of it. White Tiger, Shame the Stars and Lock the Jealous Sun. When tides have turned to contradict the destiny of love, when roses close their blooms in cruel denial of our light, when supermoons at midnight shield their spectacles in spite, I shall hold you high up in my arms to shame the stars and mock the jealous sun. End poem.
Ooh, and I would like for you to, can you read his, I don't know if you can read it, his author's notes?
Yeah, no
problem. What he wrote it for? Yeah.
Yeah. When it seems the world has turned against us, I will raise you up so high that heaven's skies will blush. And it's a 50-word poem.
Mm-hmm. He wrote it for The Power of Sunlight. So I would love to know what you thought about the poem, Gray. And beautiful reads, Katie.
I really love the title, you know, and then to put the meaning behind that of lifting the person he loves up so high that he would shame the stars and mock the jealous sun. It's just beautiful, very touching and heartfelt. So I thought it was one beautiful write and a fabulous read as well.
Yeah, I saw that he wrote to sun symbolism, seven meanings, and culture, spirituality.
What did, thank you, Gray Eyes. What did you think, Frank?
Yes, I like the notion of tide turning, you know, to contradict the destiny of love, what he says here. There's really some beautiful, beautiful language throughout this poem here. And I really like that last ending there, the ending there of the last stanza there, I shall hold you high up in your arms, in my arms to shame the stars and mock the jealous sun. There's something ethereal about this poem, and it's just a beautiful poem as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, what I really loved about this was, you know, his, you know, how it, this is so deeply beautiful and how deeply you can love somebody, you know, when, you know, when everything turns against us, when we're denied to love in the light and the things that we believe in the most. And, you know, when it feels like, you know, the supermoons are just going to swallow us at midnight, you know, and rereading what Katie and Frank pointed out, that no matter what happens in life, I shall hold you high up in my arms to shame the stars and mock the jealous sun. You know, how rich and beautiful is that, that somebody can love, you know, and that's what people search for in life, for somebody to love them through everything, through beauty and through issues and through hurricanes and tornadoes and everything that comes at us. You stay together. This was just gorgeous. And yeah, Katie, what did you think? Mm-hmm. You did a beautiful read. Thank you, Frank. You did a beautiful read of White Tiger's poem, and congratulations on your front page pick. What did you think?
I thought it was so beautifully done. I mean, so much in those 50 words. I mean, that's the whole world in 50 words. That's just a great ability to do something like that. I really enjoyed that. And yes, imagine if you are madly in love with somebody and no one around you even thinks it's worth mentioning or looking at, or nobody is very interested, or maybe they disapprove. But there you are. You will stand against everybody and you'll hold your love high in your arms. And I love those last two lines, same as the title, to shame the stars and mock the jealous sun. Beautifully done. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. And I believe we might have time for one more.
Yay! Okay, next we have Seed Whispers by Marius Alexandru. And Gray, would you like to read this for us, please?
Sure, you bet. Seed Whispers by Marius Alexandru. Why does the sea sing its refrain? Patiently carries joy and pain. Why does the sand gently kiss waves, the love story the ocean craves? What tales do seashells hold within of journeys vast where depths begin? Why does the lighthouse stand so tall to guide lost ships, a steadfast call? Why do sailors watch the foam on the long nights they dream of home and foam?
Fabulous read. What a wonderful brevity. By Marius, and congratulations on your front page pick. What did you think of this poem, Miss Katie?
I mean, that was beautifully done. Great read, by the way, Gray. Thank you. Now, the restrictions that he had in place here in this context, 66 words, 80 syllables. My goodness me, there wasn't anything that looked as though it was painfully pushed into place to make it work. It just flowed. And when you have that kind of restraints on your writing, that's a clever thing to do. And I just love, why does the sand gently kiss waves, the love story the ocean craves? Isn't that so pretty? I liked it. I thought it was very well done. I'm really impressed. Thank you.
Yeah, I thought his imagery was beautiful. I loved his rhymes. You know, why does the sand gently kiss waves, the love story the ocean craves? What tales do the seashells hold within of journeys vast where depths begin? I just thought this was absolutely gorgeous. Congratulations, Marius. And what did you think about this poem, Frank?
Well, you know, as I said before, I have an admirer of the sea. I really like the whole notion here of bringing the imagery of what is around the sea itself, not just the depth of the sea, but things that are around the sea. And I think, as always with Marius, he always brings a romantic sentiment to his pieces. And it really, really just makes it very much relatable to us, at least to me, in that regard. So I thought he did a marvelous job there. And I always enjoy that notion of poetry that he always brings when it makes it personal for him.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And we still have time for another poem.
Oh, should have. That was brief.
Well, the brevities, yeah.
There you go. Maybe
okay.
You do the last poem there for us, dear.
Were you speaking to Luyu there, Frank?
Well, maybe I can read without coughing. Could I read this last one?
Yeah, lovely.
I'll do a sit-up.
And Paper Boats by Asama Chiba. Freedom is the power attributed to the will. The body is the vehicle of our journey. The real self is something beyond. The mind creates desires of every kind. From complexity of thought, words are born. I write them on paper boats, send them on the wind across ocean and seas. When I couldn't walk, I learnt to float. On a bed of nails like a sage, I smile impatient and tolerate the suffering, getting ready to start the trip all over again to my most inner self, holding each breath, letting go of pain. End poem. What a beautiful poem by Asama Chiba. Congratulations on your front page pick. I would like to know what you thought of this poem, Ray.
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful. You really did a great job of reading it, Weaver. I thought it was beautiful. It's very touching, and the mind creates desires of every kind, from complexity of thoughts, words are born. I write them on paper boats, sail them on the wind across oceans and seas. I've always liked paper boats, and now I see why. So thank you for sharing, mm-hmm. Asma, and congratulations on your FPP.
Thank you, Gray. And what did you think about this poem, Miss Katie?
Well, it really hits home for me. I am in the same predicament. So I think that is just beautiful. I'm going to write my thoughts on paper boats, but somebody else will have to take them to the sea. So that might be. Lovely. Thank you so much.
How much for that, there,
thank you. And Frank, what did you think of this poem?
First of all, I'll be brief. I thought you were the perfect person to read this poem. Yeah, I know she holds high regard for you. I thought the poem overall was just fantastic. It really just describes her style, the picture of writing she has. It's always just one of these types of poems that you really enjoy. So like Gray, I like Paper Boats, so I thought she did a fantastic job there.
Yeah, I was just reading one of her comments that she says that we are born free but enslaved to the society and to stereotypes. Maybe we had no choice to be born or die, but the greatest honor we were given is the freedom of choice on how to live our lives. The mind is God's agent to humankind, but unfortunately the world has gone mad. You know, and I relate to this poem so very much. I admire and love. I call her my Egyptian rose, Asama Chiba. And, you know, this is, you know, we have the willpower, but society tends to push us being round, they want to push us into those sharp corners of being a square peg, you know, and sometimes whether we're suffering mentally, whether we're suffering physically, or we're suffering in any type of way, we have to endure those pains, but yet we still strive to get up to let the wind and the ocean carry us, even though we may hurt more in which we do, we can still prevail, not to give up, you know, and not to give up on ourselves. And I thought this was a beautiful poem by her, and congratulations on your front page pick. I want to thank everybody today. I want to thank Gray Eyes and Katie
and Laurent and Irish Rose and Miriam and Francisco and Ravi for hanging out in the group with us. I enjoyed it very much. Happy New Year to everybody. And thank you for spending time with me tonight. I love you all very much.
Feliz Año Nuevo.
Feliz Año Nuevo. And I love you guys. Have
Take
a
care.
Good. I love you, Katie.
Good night, everybody.
Katie, where are you? I don't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm here. I'm trying not to talk over everyone. I love you
no,
all.
No, talk over everyone. You doesn't. No, you can talk over us.
I wouldn't dare. Oh, my goodness. No, I loved it. It was a wonderful evening. I love you all. And here's to the next time with no problem.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I hope so. Yeah, cheers. And Gray, how come you're quiet? Hello?
Good night, everybody. Much love.
Good night, everybody. Love you guys.
Take
good
care.
Night. Buenas noches.
Good night, Gray.
Adios,
good night, chicitos.
Good night,
good night, everybody.
Good night, my dears.
Good night, everybody. Love you guys.